In all of the years that I have hosted our podcast, stories like the one we're going to share today rank very, very high on my list of all-time favorites. The power that we each hold to impact our world in positive, powerful ways never ceases to amaze me. It simply comes down to a choice, the choice to say yes and take yet another step towards creating the world that we say we want to live in. Hello, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Impact Earth. So I just want everybody to press pause for a minute and ask yourself, how great is it that amidst all the pain and suffering and loss going on in our world today, we have the exciting experience and true honor of speaking with a Tucson volunteer superhero, Pat Hirschman. And Pat has been volunteering with causes for over 40 years, and that says a lot. Volunteers change the world, and I know that from my work with charitable organizations, my work in charitable organizations. So she recently celebrated her 75th birthday. She is 75 years young and has no plans of slowing down anytime soon. So she's like an inspiration to me because I don't either. And on top of that, we have a Habitat home buyer, which is so exciting to me. She is also Pat's friend. Her name is Leah Majad, and she just moved into her Habitat for Humanity Tucson home. We all want to clap.
Yay.
So let's do this. We're going to kind of break it up between starting with Pat and then going to Leah and then opening up for both of them to comment. So Pat, this show is about the power of one person saying yes, and you are that one person. And I think a good place to start would be tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of segue into how yourself became that volunteer that works so diligently and faithfully with Habitat.
Well, a little history. I was a special ed teacher in Massachusetts for 10 years. And while I was there, I was involved in several different organizations, the Junior League of Fall River. I was president at one point. I was on the Conservation Commission to protect the wetlands and several other organizations, all focusing on improving someone's life. And when we came to Tucson, I'd always heard about Habitat. But because of work, I was never able to devote the time. So when we moved here in 2007, I started to work at the construction site. And I'd go 2 days a week, and I'm still working at Habitat 2 days a week.
2007?
Yep. Yep.
So, like, really, where's my bell? I don't know what happened to my bell since we redid the office, but I like ringing the bell every once in a while because that it's so huge and so significant, especially given their mission. And everybody, when Pat walked in, she said, I think we might be related, and she was kidding. But after you said that, I think we really might be related because, I mean, I was in Junior League, and Junior League, I was hesitant a little bit about it because, you know, is this just for a certain kind of woman and all that stuff? And it isn't. It's for every woman that wants to make a difference. And it kind of led my path to opening the world about volunteering. I was very young when, you know, I had just moved here. So I get that. I really get that. And I know quite a bit about the wetlands in Massachusetts. I've had guests on the show nationally about preservation of those wetlands. And it matters. It really matters a lot. So that's a path to volunteering. And once it's in your blood, I don't think you can ever get over it. That's what I think what happens. Did you have a sense for why it's so important that Habitat is needed? It's not just about building house. It's changing people's lives forever. What got you?
Well, the mission of having affordable, decent housing for, excuse me, for everyone, it has a great impact, and it really does change someone's life and their family and generations to come. Leah is a prime example. She worked incredibly hard, and it's not easy to come up with 250 hours, spare hours from work, your life, raising a child, so plus going to classes. It's an awesome task that these homeowners take on, but the reward is terrific. But I my husband and I have been very fortunate, and we wanted to give back. And when I found Habitat here, that was what I wanted.
You fell in love.
Oh, I did.
And you didn't break up.
No. And, you know, there's lots of transitions that you go through, meeting families. Leah is my 11th family. I'm now on my 12th family. And everyone's different, but there is an innate drive in all of these homeowners. They have struggled. They realize it. They might not realize it when they're going through the process, but when you sit back and assess what you've accomplished, you've really come a long way. And to change someone's life
forever
is just
a forever.
Yeah, it just is an amazing feeling. It's enhanced my life tremendously.
Now, you said you're on your 12th family, but you have to explain to us what that means. What does that mean, being a part of the family?
Well, when a family comes into the program, has applied to the program to get a home, they are part of the requirement is they partner with a volunteer, and you mentor them. You go through the whole process. You go to their classes. You work on the construction site with them, and you're just there in case they lose their keys or something.
There must be a story there,
there
so
is.
We might get to that.
When you change someone's life like that, there's a reverberation in your life, and it has just enhanced my life, and you want to spread that. And as I said, every family is different. Some are single moms like Leah, others are partners, others are married, and they all want something better for themselves and their kids.
And their kids.
And that's the generational impact that Habitat has on. We've built over 450 homes in 40-some years. That is a phenomenal.
It is.
And not only do we build them, we don't subcontract out. These are volunteer, homeowner-built homes for the most part. And that's quite admirable. I'm very proud of Habitat Tucson.
And I'm glad you brought up the reverberation. I love that word, because what happens for anybody who's listening who has volunteered, and I certainly have, it's so funny because, you know, you think, oh, I'm doing this good thing and I'm going to be a volunteer and I'm so proud of myself. And the rewards are so great that you almost feel guilty that you even had a proud moment, because everything comes back to you 100-fold. You get to meet wonderful people mm-hmm. and feel really good about it. So the honor is mine when I volunteer.
Exactly.
It's like to be in your presence and to be helping you. We're going to talk a little bit about, it's not just a handout, it's a hand up. And I love that expression. It'll never get old for me. Mm-hmm. So it's a hand up, and you have to work for it. So Leah, we're not going to start with you yet, but I am going to ask you in detail what you have to do to kind of earn the house, invest in the house, make yourself and your family a part of it, because I know that's a big deal of their model. And guess what, folks? It works. So I just have to ask you, Pat, do you volunteer for any other things? Because when you talk about you're there on the home site, you're there with the classes, you're volunteering a lot, I would think that volunteering for Habitat is a good full-time volunteer job.
It's not full-time. As I said, I only do it 2 days a week. Now, because I work for J.J. Sweeney, he's the chief
production. J.J., we've had J.J.
Yes,
sitting right in that chair.
And
yes.
He's the chief production officer who's responsible for the building of the homes.
Right, right.
And so the construction site generally is open from 6 to 1. And so he's in at 6, so I'm in at 6. So I work from 6 to 12.
Good for you.
Yeah. And it's just Habitat really cares about its volunteers. It appreciates them. And most of your volunteers, or at least on the construction site, are older, retired people, and they don't need anything. A T-shirt, you know, a burrito once in a while. That's all in the thank you.
Right.
There's
right,
always
right.
that
just a recognition.
Thank you. When yeah. I walk out that door of the office, JJ always says, thanks, Pat. I appreciate what you do.
They do. And, they do.
And that's the amazing part of it.
They care. They honor our contribution. I've done many home builds, and I'm proud to say that because I can't say that for everybody who sits here. It's like, but I've done many home builds, and we're going to weave that into the story, Leah. So thank you for sitting there patiently, and we'll circle back around. But what a story you have to share. You really do have quite a story, and it's such a good news story. When I'm searching for them every day, it's like, oh, if you want the bad news, it's easy. Just turn on the news. If you want the good news, you have to dig for it and have to do different kind of Google searches. So you have something really good to share. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Well, single mother, everyone knows that's not easy.
No, but it's very hard. It's the hardest job.
Never not worked a day since 16, since it was legal to work.
And now you look 17, so it hasn't been that long.
Okay,
sorry.
20's fine.
Okay.
I'll take it.
So good. So you've been working since you were young.
Hard worker.
And you're still young.
Thank you. I'll never stop working.
But what about the home ownership piece? Even though you worked, was owning a home within your scope?
Never.
Did you think it was going to happen?
Not at all. Not even possible.
So how did you find out and how did you get involved?
I was at work and...
Where did you work? We have to throw this in because I'm so proud of my partnership with the Chapman Tucson Group.
I was at work and we do volunteer once a year, Brush with Kindness for Habitat. And I saw everybody was closing in on homes in our office, like four or five girls. And I walked out and said something to the secretary like, oh, wow, I want a home. And she got on her little computer as quick as possible and says, go to this meeting. And I really didn't want to go to the meeting. I was tired. I worked all week. I went because she was so sweet about it and so excited and was like, you're going. I went. I listened to Tina Hoffman. She did the whole...
Right. She's right.
She did the whole meeting.
Services.
And at the end of the meeting, she goes, Don't let yourself decide whether you qualify or not. So I filled out the
application.
Leave it to us. Yeah, so I filled out the application, not even, you know, oh, no, I have bad credit. Oh, no, I have this. Oh, no, I have that. And I got a letter in the mail.
You wish that was captured on YouTube? was there some crying going on?
Absolutely,
yes. I can't even imagine. When I was reading your story, I'm like, I'm getting teared up.
I was living in a one-bedroom with my little son, and I remember just crawling in my bed and crying like uncontrollably that whole night.
Really?
Just crying, yeah.
When you see how the universe works and where, you know, I like to think of us as pieces on a chessboard, even though I think we have control over our destiny, like volunteering, there's something that happens when the stars align, and they certainly did for you. Now, I want to just add, Chapman was one of my biggest supporters and sponsors and partners for 14 years. And even though we ended that partnership officially, it's going to be a lifelong partnership with me.
They're amazing.
And they don't just do Brush with Kindness, I have to admit. They do a home build every year. And I've been out there almost every single year. I used to just be in charge of bringing donuts, which was a cop-out because I didn't think I was handy. And then I thought, this is BS, and I started painting. And, you know, Sam is, and she comes, a lot of the people from Chapman.
Oh, I love Sam.
Yeah.
See? I love her.
But my point in bringing it up is not just to praise Chapman, but anybody else who's listening who works for a company or who may own their own company, Habitat cannot do what they do without their volunteers and without corporate partners. And Chapman is a good one. They give money to them. We volunteer at least twice a year. And I haven't been able to do a Brush with Kindness yet, which my friend Dominique says is just fabulous because you see the results right there.
Absolutely.
And you're helping a couple, sometimes elderly, which Pat and I obviously will never be. We're in a disclaimer situation here. I'm never going to be elderly. When people say that, I'm like, define elderly. But it was a game changer for you. So talk to us a little bit about the process, because what I love, and Pat alluded to it, is you don't just say, oh, we're so happy, Leah, congratulations, we'll see you in a year and give you the keys.
No, it was work.
No, tell us about the work. What do they do that is helpful? What did you learn? You can't just do that to someone who never owned a home.
Right.
You can't just give them the keys.
Yeah,
there's
they wouldn't
so many
appreciate
moving parts.
It.
No, and no. To know what the responsibilities are.
Yeah.
So what did you have to go through or learn or experience?
Well, financial advisor for my famous pet next to me. She was hardcore. I love it. Thank God.
Awesome. You're friends.
Yes,
you would say you're friends.
Yeah,
for sure.
She shared
She shared my birthday with me.
Definitely.
Which is when?
My birthday.
January 1st.
Oh my gosh. My birthday. Do you feel like you get robbed of a birthday or is it?
Oh,
no. Okay, good.
It was a great occasion.
It was fun. Oh my goodness.
Family and friends there. It was
a little champagne and
what a way to start the new year. Seriously.
It was perfect.
So you have gained a friend,
a home.
But what kinds of things did you learn in the 250 hours? You have to volunteer for some of that is sweat equity.
Yes.
And then what else? What else do they teach you during the curriculum?
How to change your filters, how to the main shut off water valves, I guess pre-maintenance.
What about budgeting?
Budgeting was major. Budgeting was every month. All month. I still budget.
Yes. Yeah. Did they have people come in?
They drilled it in me.
They drilled it in you.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean,
that's the
systemic change. Did they talk to you about, things like, I know I've heard some stories like your electric bill, you pay that.
I pay it.
So be careful, right?
Yeah.
And they tell you be careful and what to do to save energy. And they're all Energy Star appliances.
Energy efficient. I got my first bill last week and it was only $110. I was like, wow,
yay!
Beautiful.
That's good. Was it in your budget?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so affordable. My mortgage, of course.
I can pay my bills.
And gas
when
my
they
car, food.
When they come into the program, at least my partners, they have a spreadsheet of 31 days. And I require my family partners
love it.
To maintain this spreadsheet to enter daily their purchases. Because if they wait till the end of the week or the end of the month, they're not going to remember that they bought this and maybe they put things on credit cards. But so Leah, it was an education, but she was not resistant. She was open to whatever I suggested because I would explain that this will show where you spend your money properly and where you don't. And many of the families like to eat out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Leah now doesn't eat out as much. And I think it's part of an education. We're brought up, and if you ate out a lot when you were a child, then that was normal. But we didn't eat out a lot when I was a kid. So, and I don't eat out a lot now because my husband's the cook. So
so why would you?
Right.
Same here. We are related.
Yes.
Same here. James makes nice, nutritious meals that are better for you and more affordable. But it's so when you work, which you do, and you have a little boy, mm-hmm. which you do, it's easy to pick something up on the way home.
I don't want to. My kitchen is so beautiful.
Yes. This is like such a great story. So you want to go home and it's all around better.
He doesn't want to leave.
A better experience. Oh my God. So can you talk a little bit about what it has been like for him?
I think the first week was pretty rough. He was having a hard time adjusting. Like it was just so much. It's like we won the lottery, it felt like.
Oh, great. Oh my gosh. Really, I couldn't wait for this show.
Yeah, it was... Now he doesn't want to leave. He just...
And he has new friends in the neighborhood.
Yeah, the little girl come knocking on the doorbell. You want to be my friend? And then they went off and played together. I said, oh my God.
And when
amazing.
When I say that it is transformative and life-changing and systemic change, those are the kinds of things that are developmental assets where... You know, moving a lot contributes to kids not doing as well in school and absenteeism and that whole feeling of instability. When you have a home, kids feel safer, which makes it easier to learn and they can eat because it's healthy and you love your kitchen. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about a building that you get the keys to. It's systemic. I've brought this up on so many shows. I'm sure some of my listeners will be going, here she goes again, telling the story. But I'm an entrepreneur. And I could not have started my first business without being a homeowner because we had a lot of equity in the house and I needed startup capital. And I used my second mortgage to start my first business. And that was over 40 years ago.
Wow.
And if I didn't have a home, that would not have been my ability to have that step up and have access to capital. I mean, it's transformative on so many levels. Did you think that you would get a lifelong friend out of it. I'm loving this part of the conversation because that is the impact of Habitat for Humanity, mm-hmm. Tucson.
Yeah, I knew she was going to, yeah, she was a firecracker. I remember my phone was all cracked and broken and I had to do a video Zoom call and it was like our first or second Zoom call. And the girl next to me is like, oh my gosh, because she was going ham on me for my budget. I spent $800 on fast food that month, so I needed it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Now
my grocery bill for the month is $350.
Right. Right. What a difference.
Thank you.
What a difference. Transformative. Oh my gosh.
Treasure.
This is when I wish there was a video in the studio.
Nobody else would have done that for me.
Okay. Would you say you're tough, Pat?
Yes.
Yeah. So Leah answers yes, which is a good thing.
Yes, it is, because I took on a responsibility to help guide a family. And when I take on a responsibility, I follow through.
Take it seriously.
I do my best to follow through. And, future homeowners at Habitat, I don't think that they realize the enormity of the responsibility they are taking on in trying to achieve their home. They know that, yes, you go to classes and you have to do this and you have to, but they're just words. It's the action and their reaction to doing all that that is really has a profound impact on them. And there hasn't been one family that I have partnered with, my husband and I did a few together, that you don't see a change from the beginning to the end. And I'm in contact with probably all of them.
I was going to ask you that, because that's been my experience with volunteering with a project that I did over 20 years ago. And I'm still in touch. They were kids when I worked with them, and we're still in touch.
I send them like birthday cards or happy anniversary of getting your home.
Right.
But
it matters.
There's one family. It was our second family. And his son he was disabled and he was getting Social Security. And this family, they'd call every year, can you help me fill out the form? I was thrilled because they thought enough of me
right.
to know that I could help them
right.
do it.
Right.
And
so it's a lifelong commitment.
Oh, it
really
it is. But when I started volunteering at Habitat, it was because I thought they were doing good. And you got to do good better. I mean, really.
I love that. That sounds like a tweet. Do good better.
Yeah.
Hashtag do good better. I think
I heard it. I don't know who originally said it, but it's a good motto to go through. And there was a few years ago, I was in Boston, went to the Kennedy Library, and there was everybody knows Kennedy's "That's not" quote, but this says, one person could make a difference and everyone should try. And that is profound. That
it
says volunteer.
Profound. It is. And I think about it. I'm involved in Rotary. I'm like, I just can't seem to get it out of my system because I don't want to. But I often think if a significant amount of the population, especially people that are retired, that have more flexible time mm-hmm. and the opportunity to give back, if we mobilized more people, it would change the world. Volunteers already do change the world
right.
immeasurably. There's no question. But what the potential is, especially in the face of right now climate change, the increase in homelessness. When I was prepping for this show, I thought, little did Habitat know how many years ago what a difference they would be making at such a critical time. It's mm-hmm. really important to me.
Yes.
So, Leah, what were some of the hardest parts to you for adjusting? Do you have a list or something that comes up, or what was the hardest? And then I'm going to ask you what was the most fun.
The hardest part of adjusting for me was there's so many people who deserve it, and I didn't feel deserved. Like,
oh wow,
as deserved.
She's getting hit. There's abuse going on here in the studio. Good for you, Pat.
She deserves it 100%.
But I feel like other people. There's other single mothers out there. There's other mothers who work hard and might have more children who, you know, who probably need it more than I did.
But you needed it. You were there. You worked for it.
I worked for it.
And you deserve what you
have. And baby, look at you now. That's what I want to say. You did it. You completed the training.
I did.
That's really interesting. We could do a whole show on that and your sense of deserving. And hopefully what owning the house will anchor into you is you are indeed deserving. And so is your little boy.
Yeah,
so maybe,
definitely. I mean, yeah. I absolutely would work hard for it. But how many other mothers work hard for it?
I get it. I really get it. It's very emotional to even talk about it. So what didn't you like?
There's not one thing I don't like about my move in my house.
Just say that. I can see your face lit up. No, it's like, that's really good. So you like to learn about budgeting and not eating out as much and the discipline that that requires. What about the upkeep? You're responsible for that.
I can afford it. My mortgage is affordable enough where I can work my 40 hour, you know, some overtime, and I can afford it. I can afford the upkeep. I can afford my bills, and I can afford food in my fridge now.
And she can save.
And she can save.
Yes,
I was going to ask you about that.
Of course. That's part of it.
Is that something that you feel is a focus of and a part of your responsibility, Pat? Because that's huge.
Yes. Having the ability to save. One of the crucial things with savings is that a lot of people think, living paycheck to paycheck is a good thing. Well, yes, it's good that you have a paycheck every week, but there's always an emergency. Mm-hmm. Somebody gets sick, you have a flat tire, things happen. And if you don't have a backup, that can change somebody's life forever.
Totally, because you turn to credit.
Right. And these usurpers out there just take advantage
of
people.
That's just the kindest word, right? We have bad words for those people that are doing predatory lending. And we're trying to do something about that at the legislature, but it's so egregious and disgusting. I'm friends with the people at Community Investment Corporation, and their whole mission is to stop the predatory lending. Not their whole mission. They're doing so many good things, but they're helping people that got into those predatory loans, which blew my mind when they were on the show, how fast $1,000 turns into $10,000 in the blink of an eye because of the interest compounded daily.
Right.
And it's I'm glad you brought that up because it's disgusting. This is all handled right. Do you see yourself, Leah, someday? I mean, you got a full plate, kiddo. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but down the road, would you like to be a volunteer?
Yeah. Oh, that's given. Yeah. Women's Build.
Yes.
Women's Build.
Leah's home was part of the Women's Build. So she's a Women's Build recipient. And she now has pledged to support Women's Build.
I do. And at least quarterly. I can go in at least 3 or 4 times a year, at the very least.
Right. But if everybody did that, that's the whole thing. It's the power of one. It's not the power of 10,000 because the power of one becomes the power of 10,000 if everybody follows it. And I think with your situation, you do have a little boy who is quite cute, by the way. Stole my heart. I mean, he's really darn cute. Agreed, Pat? He's really darn cute. So it's showing him a whole new way. Showing him a whole new way and giving back. I always took my kids with me anytime I could. Like we'd had a big rummage sale, the Junior League rummage sale. Well, my kids would come and sort and sort and sort. They learned about giving back very young, and it matters because they're all philanthropic now. It's in their DNA to learn how to give back. And it's not always about money.
Oh, no.
That's what I teach my kids, sweat equity.
Absolutely,
right? Yes.
Yeah.
Many people can write
money.
A check.
Right.
It's and that's wonderful. We need money. Many volunteer organizations need the financial support, but to actually physically be involved and commit yourself to giving, I think is just incredible.
It's about the best. And there's no, I mean, I was thinking about, I did, I got up at the crack of dawn this morning because I really wanted to be prepped for the show and it's 9 o'clock here in Tucson. And so I was up like at 6 sitting at the computer trying to capture the essence, the importance, the long-term systemic change that Habitat is all about. And I know one of my favorite things, I mean, a friend of mine called me the other day and he bought a condo in Tucson and he wanted to know where to go shop for furniture.
Habitat.
So guess what?
The Habit Store.
I said, Scott, go down to the Habit Store. They have such good stuff and they get new stuff every day. And he texted me and it was like, OMG, exclamation point, exclamation point, because there's a lot of good things. It's fun. It's kind of like an outing to go there because you never know what you're going to find down each aisle. Right. It's not just like going to the Home Depot. It's much more fun and exciting and to see what you can get. And again, volunteers. There's people that volunteer there that take it like a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And they're there 5 days a week and they work, they're like a worker. They just give back and give back and give back. Okay, Pat, what's the hardest part for you as a volunteer when things are tough, for example? I want to get it like somebody really doesn't want to listen to you about the budget or someone is doing something that you feel is a challenging. These guys are cracking up, so you better tell all right now.
I am just very firm with them. If they, if when they do their budget, they have to recap this month-long spreadsheet into a sheet that says, this is the income, this is my variable expense, this is my fixed expense. And you have to have a plus at the bottom of the line. And some don't.
And then they have to face Pat.
Well, but...
Which is a good thing. You're holding them accountable is my thought.
Exactly.
It's accountability.
And going to... I have suggested getting a second job, working overtime, and it works. They have to see, sometimes you have to repeat a couple of times. Not with Leah. I have to tell you, Leah was probably the easiest partner I've ever had. Not that they're hard. There are obstacles that you, but everything
she
was fun.
She set her boundaries immediately. I was like, oh, yes, ma'am.
Oh my God, I love it. I wish everybody could feel the energy in this studio because there's a lot of joy bouncing around and looking at each other and smiling. And that's probably why I was so excited about it. So you have to be a mentor, which is different than being a boss.
Yes, I want to be a friend, but I also to start out as a mentor. The relationship progresses from mentor to friend as you go along. And it's hard for a stranger, two strangers to meet and have one say, I need to know how you spend your money. I need to know what you're doing. Are you working? And trust and honesty are the key features.
It's very intimate. It's an intimate relationship.
And that's part of the requirement when a homeowner, future homeowner comes into the program. They have to be willing to partner. And I have had 12 wonderful partners. They're all wonderful. They all are different. And I hope that they have learned something along the way.
Pretty sure they have. What kind of training does Habitat for Humanity Tucson give you? Did you have to get training in the beginning?
You know, there was a training 2007. I don't really remember the extent of it. Though I do remember the volunteer coordinator saying, because it was for the construction site, you know, you have to use the equipment properly, and a ladder is a ladder is a ladder. A chair is not a ladder. And a ladder is a ladder is
that
in
is
my
a great
head all the time.
Safety tip.
Oh my gosh. Because of working with JJ and the construction team, I've kind of morphed into the safety patrol person during large bills and going around making sure people are drinking enough water. And I mean, it sounds simple.
No, but it isn't. Not here in the desert.
Keeping hydrated. And even though we start early in the morning, it's hot. And for the most part, and using the equipment properly, wearing your safety gear, hard hats, glasses, earplugs, gloves. I mean, all these things are essential to having a safe work site. And JJ had brought that safetiness to our construction team.
And if you don't, it can shut the whole thing down. I mean, liability is a huge issue. Oof. And boy, are they on it. They gather us up at the site, and everybody gets a helmet, and it's taken very seriously. And if you're on site, the Habitat staff, they're watching for your safety as well as the safety of the program and what you're doing. What about, I mean, I didn't think I was going to go there, but people might say, Pat is a volunteer. She sounds like a really nice lady, but how the heck can she help build a home? What do you have to say to that? Because I will tell you, I thought about that because I don't know how to build a home, but they're built to code. They're inspected. Everything's good. It's not like you're getting a home built by volunteers. Leah's raising her hand. Go ahead.
These homes are built with love, so they're better than if you hired professionals in to build a home. Like
what
you said,
these
walls are made with love. So I'd rather have my walls made with love than some stranger who doesn't care that day hammering nails. Because our nails that are hammered in are with love.
So I can see why she's like numero uno. Truly. That's a pretty profound thing to say. They are homes built with love.
Yeah.
And when you're on the site, everybody looks around and we're high-fiving each other.
They want to be there.
You see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in other volunteer things, you can't see the results right away. But when you do a home build, you're seeing your paint, you're seeing the nails mm-hmm. go in. And there are usually people there that are much more qualified to do some of the harder things than I can do. And it's, you know, it's usually a lot of men, but I don't want to stereotype. There are women that know how to build a house. Mm-hmm. I am not one of them.
Women's built.
So let's talk about that for a minute, because I've been a part of it. A couple of my friends are big fundraisers for it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Lynn Wood Dusenberry. She's a really good friend. And Linda Lose, all mm-hmm. those people yep. that I've been to their house when they're saying, women's built. Yep, really, money, money, money. It takes money. So that's another part of this conversation. I don't want people to be turned off by, well, I don't have time to volunteer, because believe me, I was at Free Humanity Tucson can use your check also. But sure. I think it's to put the emphasis on women's build. And then my friend Kevin did the rainbow build.
Kevin Walters.
Mm-hmm. He's a good friend. So it's like I'm surrounded by these Habitat good people that do really wonderful things, but it reaches different people.
And when someone comes to the site, especially a group, they're circled up and the staff goes through all the safety first and then gives assignments. And the new people are partnered. When we have big builds, the regular volunteers become crew leaders and have 5 or 10 people assigned to them to work with them on through that day. And the great thing is you always want to have homeowners or future homeowners
right.
there so
right.
they can tell this story and get to really know what Habitat is about. You can read about it, you can hear about it on a podcast, but once you're there hands-on and you can meet people that really are deserving of a home because they've worked so hard to get it.
And they wouldn't have it if it wasn't for this program.
Right.
And this whole initiative. It's unbelievable. I interviewed a man named John from Bangladesh, who T. Van Hook is friends with. Mm-hmm. And it was a very hard interview for me because it hurt to hear what homes are like in Bangladesh. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'll never forget it. It was probably one of my most embarrassing moments because I asked him about indoor toilets. And he said, Gina, it's Bangladesh. So for those people, just having 4 walls and a light bulb mm-hmm. is transformative. So they're not living in mud and muck and sewage. And he said, no, we're not there yet. I mean, talk about what that would cost, because there's no infrastructure. There's right. no ability to just bring water into the house. But thinking about we're here and get to enjoy all of those opportunities, but over there in Bangladesh, Habitat's still doing the work. I mean, it's an international organization, and to think about that. And I just, for weeks, I thought about what it would be like to not have a flush toilet. It's just something I can't even. I can't even get into my head.
It's an education for us. Habitat has many refugee families, I've worked with other organizations. I work for Keep Tucson Together, which helps immigrants and people become citizens and other kinds of relief, asylum, and also with Tucson Samaritans and Humane Borders, and with the Keep Tucson Together, you have immigrants. And some are refugees from the Congo and other places in Africa. And their life is so different from ours. It's an education for us to understand where they come from. So many of the refugees who come to America, and Tucson is an incredibly welcoming city for refugees. They don't know about a toaster or toilet or a refrigerator or locking your doors, because many of them have lived in refugee camps.
Or a credit card.
Well, they've lived in refugee right. camps. Two or three of my partners lived in refugee camps, one of them for 14 years. And, you know, you see a picture on television, but it doesn't relate to this is a Habitat homeowner who that's where they came from. And Habitat is such an inclusive organization, both for volunteers and staff and homeowners. It really checks all the boxes.
It does check the boxes. And I'm grinning over here because in 1980, I was the first person hired to start the state's refugee program. So we are related, Pat.
Wow.
I know we are. We were sisters in another life or something. Oh. But to talk about working with loving, hardworking, scared in many cases, foreign lands. And of course, then it was mostly Vietnamese, Cambodian, and mm-hmm. Laotians. And then I stayed on for other waves of people coming from different countries. And Arizona, surprisingly, is very welcoming, because what we do is help those people create lives. We don't just get them on the dole or give them welfare. There's really good things in place. And I check in once in a while because it comes across. I know Barb from Ishkashita, mm-hmm. who collects fruit from trees where elder people, not like us, can't, you know, pick all their grapefruits and stuff. So it's a very connected community in so mm-hmm. many ways. I mean, it makes me think about totally off the grid, how we got to be a city of gastronomy, which when you dive into that, it speaks volumes about what kind of city this is, because mm-hmm. it is hard. And I know some people that worked on that, and it wasn't about having good restaurants. That is like the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. There were so many things that had to be in place. And Tucson was the first city in the United States to get that designation. So to your point, Tucson together means something to me, and it's not always the case statewide. So I'm still really proud to be here. So what else didn't I cover? I covered your joy. I want to kind of know mm-hmm. the day you moved in. What did that feel like, and did it get caught on camera? It's forever in your heart, but the day you actually moved in. Are you going to start crying?
No.
Let me just interject for a second.
Okay.
Before COVID, we would have a wonderful dedication ceremony where the family and friends would gather.
I've been to those, too.
And boy, that it's usually a two Kleenex operation.
Yes. At least one box per group.
I'm glad I was alone.
but it shows the success that the homeowner has made.
Right. It celebrates.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will tell you, when I was with Leah the day she was got to look around the house that she's living in to see if this is the house she wanted. And it was studs. I mean, the exterior walls were up.
Use your imagination.
But Leah's worked in so many homes at one of our other sites.
Yeah.
And she's got, I know what I'm going to do. This is the bedroom.
I know every room. Yeah.
And this is, and she would say to me, oh, it's a palace.
It's my mansion.
And then when she came on New Year's Day, she was talking to some of my friends, and they said, oh, it's not a mansion anymore. It's a palace. So, it's risen in scope.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
But I think I did cry when I took my bath.
Awesome.
I sat in my bath and I was like,
this is my house.
And I shed a couple tears. But like I said, it was kind of awkward that first night because
different.
Thanks
beautiful.
For being so transparent and honest. It's not just exciting. There's a lot of layers for you personally.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about deserving. I hope you anchor into that and realize you are deserving.
Yes.
Just as much as anybody. I'm sure Pat tells you that, but
when
I'm
paid that first mortgage, then I was like, oh, wow, this is for reals. And I was able to just kind of relax on my brand new couch.
and a little sideline.
And my TV.
I said to Leah, she told me she was waiting for the couch. And I said, asked if it had come, and she said no, she was still waiting for it. And some of the stores here allow you to budget over 5 years, you know, interest-free, you've got to pay that. And so I said, well, are you doing that program? She said, no, my partner taught me how to save.
Are you serious? So you bought the couch?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I love this story.
So I have a brand new couch.
That you paid
paid for.
You had to be proud that moment, Pat.
Honestly, I was.
That's really good.
I've had many proud moments with Leah.
I bet you have.
And tears.
I'll bet you have. Proud moment and tears. And did I read in the work that your son wanted a bedroom with dinosaurs?
He did initially, but you know, he's 4 or 5, so it changes every day.
But it's like you watch with, I have a 2.5-year-old granddaughter.
He's
what you want to be for Halloween. It changes daily, so it's the same thing.
Yeah, but he's got the whole entire house and outside. I love that he's playing basketball, riding his bike, his scooter all in the neighborhood, his Nerf guns, no more TV. And I'm like, he's got a TV in his room and hardly even watches it rarely. And
really
I'm like, oh, thank God.
Really good. Really, yeah. Really, really good. Yeah. Outside, and especially now in Tucson. It's not, we're living in the reason why we live in Tucson, everybody.
Sure.
You get out there, we were sitting outside the other day, and we had just come from New Mexico where it was like 1 degree at 2 o'clock in the morning when I checked my phone. And we were sitting outside, and it was 71 degrees. So it's the reason why we're here, and having kids mm-hmm. go outside is just everything. It's the be-all and the end-all, because getting addicted to shows, I can see it with my 2.5-year-old, they get addicted, and my mm-hmm. daughter's very strict about it and limits that time. But sometimes if you're doing something, it's great to have a 30-minute distraction if you're home by yourself that you can give to your child. So it's a really happy story. I have a question like this. Do you get to pick out the colors of the paint, or do they just paint them all the same? How does that work?
No.
You do?
You get to choose your colors.
The exterior.
The exterior, yeah. Okay.
All the houses are painted white interior, and then the homeowner can
decide.
Can do what they want.
Decide, that's
yes.
right. You know, the reflection for me is Habitat is kind of the poster child for things like teamwork makes the dream work, it takes a village. There are so many sayings that come up for me for Habitat that I'm just, you can tell I'm not just a podcaster. I'm a very passionate, committed citizen of this community and watching and loving the work. That's how I sought out partners for this whole program.
It's no gimmick.
What? It's no gimmick.
It's no gimmick.
It's no gimmick. And gosh, they need volunteers. And bring up COVID, how they have continued to go on, not in the same way, and adapt. And this has been a hard week in the Murphy Darling family for COVID. We have lots of family members and friends who are sick. Some mm-hmm. of them very sick. Some of them feels like they've got a cold and why can't they go to work? But it's not over and it's not easy. It's really not easy.
Right.
So what else did I not cover that you think we need to cover that I don't want to think about like in an hour, say, oh man, I really wanted to ask him that. We talked about the education you get both as a volunteer and as a homeowner and how that matters, and budgeting, having a mentor and a friend, which I love that part. And I was trying to think if I knew that every family got a mentor. And I should. I should know everything about Habitat for Humanity, but I'm not sure I knew that.
It's
key.
Yes.
It's key.
Yes.
When I read this, it's like, it makes so much sense. You need somebody to help you, and you're not going away.
Right.
That matters, too.
Right.
That really matters a lot. What do the people at work have to say?
they're all so proud of me.
Who is it? Is there anybody I know that you work with?
Probably all of them. Dominique. You mentioned, Samantha.
Sam, yes.
I love her
Julie.
So much. Julie's definitely.
Julie, who always has candy.
Love her.
I think I better go visit.
That's my boss.
Yes.
Julie
is your boss. Well, we'll make sure we're sharing this podcast far and wide with her because she deserves
kudos. She's
special. She's
Mama Bear. She knows
she is. She's on the Chapman Cares team.
Yes, she is.
And talk about an organization that gives back and gives back and gives back. So before we run out of time, I would like to go over this with everyone. I invite you to think about getting involved. And if it's not for you, ask someone in your family, ask friends in your circle of friends, because there's something for everyone, whether it's working at the Habitat store or working on a home build. There are so many things. They needed people to answer the phones mm-hmm. as of late because of COVID. They didn't have anyone to answer the phones. They were asking for volunteers to help with that. So you can volunteer for pretty much almost anything you feel like doing. Money is always welcome. It's these nonprofits, corporations, give them lots of supplies and support and discounts. So the companies in Tucson, I don't think Habitat could do what they do without that kind mm-hmm. of support. The corporate sponsorships, I know I'm a partner with TEP and they give mm-hmm. time and money and Home volunteers. Depot. Yeah, they really do a lot. And then become a family partner. You know, it's funny being where I am. There's going to be some changes in Mrs. Green's world that I'll be talking about more and more. But me slowing down a little bit, not in my life, but in my work life mm-hmm. to be more attentive to family and things that's going like that. But I think about what I want to do when I have more time to volunteer. And I can't imagine, like I checked out Habitat Taos already to see.
Good.
Because they're everywhere. And I know their work and I know the importance because to me, there's something about systemic change. When I ran my mental health organizations, you don't just give somebody something like a meal and expect them to change their life and eat healthy. It's about systemic change. And then it's about learning, for me as a volunteer, about their life's journey and the things that I missed or didn't have to face or didn't have an obstacle to overcome. So anything else, Leah, that you're sitting there popping to say?
Just Habitat it's a real thing. They're really out there changing lives.
Yeah, they are. Forever.
Yes.
I like to add that forever piece yes. because we
need... You're forever home.
Yeah, forever home. We need to give kids food who are hungry. I agree. But then we need to do the give a man a fish.
Exactly.
We need to teach them how to fish. And that's what Habitat does. It's the epitome. All those sayings that you hear that I love that are ageless, that's another one. They teach you how to fish, mm-hmm. not to how to eat a fish. So, Pat, what about you? Are you bursting with, oh, Gina, I wish you'd ask me this because I'd love to hear that?
I think you covered a wide range of what Habitat symbolizes to me.
We got to the heart of it.
And you can volunteer, as Gina said, on the construction site or at the store or in the office, but partnering, there are many committees. There's a Faith in Action committee. There's Women's Build. There are vast committees.
There's something for everybody.
There is. And you can be as involved as you want. Some people can only give a couple hours a week or a month.
Once a year.
It all adds up.
Yes.
It all adds up. And I know when I went, and we've covered this on the show, where there's some people that work at the Habit Store and they love to fix things. And they fix the furniture, they repair it, mm-hmm. they put it in really good shape so that's something you'd want to bring home to your home. But there's a lot of treasures. So my final words, okay, I put some thoughts into words. And the first thing that came to mind when I was gathering my thoughts is how could everyone not love Habitat for Humanity. Right. I am so serious. Right. And I don't just, it's my words, my heart, or at the very least, admire the heck out of the work they are doing in communities all over the world. In my lifetime, which is getting longer and longer, thank goodness, and I plan to live for a very, very long time, I've never seen a time where the severe and critical and ever-increasing homeless population is ever present everywhere you go, mm-hmm. whether it's a small town, whether it's a big city. I mean, I've had people tell me they won't go back to San Francisco anymore. I don't want to say anything bad about San Francisco, but the homeless population is a crisis in our country. And the one organization that's been addressing it long before this, yes, this is when I really want a camera so you can see Leah. It's homelessness is being talked about in every city, small town, and communities all over the United States and the world. We're lucky because even if you're homeless here, you probably can go in to McDonald's and, you know, wash your face. I'm not advocating that. I have to be careful about what I sound like, but it's different in the United States than, for example, Bangladesh or one of the refugee countries where you're living for 14 years as a refugee. Habitat has been addressing this issue of homelessness and affordable housing for decades. They have had boots on the ground doing the work, making a difference for thousands of people and their families, and changing lives forever. I want to emphasize that underline, underscore, exclamation point, forever. This is an organization that's committed to and does indeed bring about long-term systemic change for thousands of people in our country and around the world every year. As I said earlier, home ownership is a total game changer when it comes to living in a sustainable and socially just world. It's the game changer. It's almost like the price of admission. It's an everybody wins scenario. Let's face it. I am so very proud to have spent time with these two amazing human beings. And I knew that, and I wrote it before I even met you. And I'm very proud of the Mrs. Green's World Partnership with Habitat for Humanity. Just proud of my friendship with T and many of the other staff there. They make good things happen. They make lasting things, positive change, and happen for the community in which I live and work, which I happen to love. So thanks to the both of you for being here. And my final thanks always is to you, our wonderful listeners, because without you, there would be no us. So Pat and Leah, thank you. It was an honor to spend this time with you.
Thank you.
It was our honor as well. Thank you very much.
Good luck. And of course, I want to see the house. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. That's a wrap.